Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation.
With Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, about 8 minutes after 11 p.m. here on the WGN Radio Theater. I am your host, Carl Amari. It is program 315 in the series. It's September 2nd, and to my right is the one, the only, Lisa Wolf. What's up, Lisa?
Hey, Carl. What's going on?
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Look who's in the booth.
Who?
It's Ashley Byham.
Ashley
is our producer tonight.
We not only love her as a person, we love her as a producer.
She's always smiling. She always looks so happy.
She gets that from me. I taught her that.
And she's just a little cutie patootie in there. And we love Ashley.
Well, more importantly, she's a great producer.
That too.
So we're
that
so happy
too.
To have
Absolutely.
You fill in tonight.
We have Fibber McGee and Molly coming your way in just a few minutes. Then it's Jeff Regan, Investigator. Good Detective Adventure. We'll be here till 1 a.m. in the morning. Bringing
1 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah.
I think that's redundant.
1 a.m. in the morning. I like
saying.
To be thorough.
Yes, you do. Or redundant,
I am
as the case
thorough,
may be.
Lisa.
You call it thorough. I call it redundant.
But we're going to start things off with Cat's Pride. Crack the quote. What's the movie?
Terminator Genesis. That's the 2015
How many
movie.
Terminators were there?
Oh, quite a few. I have to be honest. I've never seen a Terminator movie.
What?
Yeah, I don't. Not a Terminator
gal. Sacrilegious.
I mean, I'm familiar with them, but I did not see them.
I'll be back.
But here's the thing. I am positive
yeah.
that whoever it call is the right caller is going to get this right.
You're positive?
I feel really, really good about it.
What do they win?
They're going to win the desktop indoor weather
Whoa,
station.
Oh, that's a coveted
brought to you
prize.
By American Weather Makers. This is a coveted prize here in WGN.
I just said that.
I know, but it was my job.
Are you Edgar Bergen or Charlie McCarthy?
I'll be both. And you know what? We are going to be looking for caller number 8.
Number 8.
Number
okay.
8. 312-981-7200. Call in and play Crack the Quote with
All
us.
All right, we'll be right back.
It's time now for Crack the Quote.
I'm Brought going broke with this
Cat's
thing.
Pride.
With Roger.
Hey, John, how are you?
Well, we'll find out in a minute, won't we?
Well, either way, you're a big winner, so I'm going to say that you're good. So we're glad
Hi,
that
John.
We're glad that you're the 8th caller.
Hey,
Roger, you with us?
Oh, of course.
All
I
right,
am.
Just checking in. All right, here we go. This is Terminator Genesis. Here we go. Number 1. I've been waiting for you. Number 2. I've been impatiently waiting for you. Number 3.
Like my last day.
I must learn to wait for you.
Why would you think that someone would know this for sure?
I don't know. I feel like you would.
Ah.
All right.
This
well,
is one of the few that I've actually seen, so I'm going with number 1.
Number 1, I've been waiting for you. Roger?
Yeah,
you like
sure. Yeah, number 1 sounds good to me.
Okay. Carl?
I'm going to stick with number 1, yeah.
Number 1.
John sounds like he knows what he's
sure does.
Doing.
All right. Ashley, which is it?
I've been waiting for you.
See? It just seemed
I've
like a no.
I've been waiting for
I
you.
I know when he says it. It sounds right.
It's a guy thing.
That's right. It's a guy thing. John, you're a winner. See, you're all good. You've won the desktop indoor weather station. It is brought to you by American Weather Makers Heating and Cooling. They are the 60 Minute Men. Give them a call at 855-955-HVAC. I hope you love that prize. I love the indoor weather, the desktop indoor weather station.
And in 30 days, I'll be back.
Exactly. Take care. Thanks
Way
for
to
calling
go, John.
In.
Thank you. All right. It is Fibber McGee and Molly time, but I want to remind all of our listeners to text us because we have a text in line. It's 312-981-7200. We love getting your texts, right, Lisa?
We do, and happy Labor Day weekend. We are here to spend the weekend with you. No fill-ins for us. We are, Carl and I are always here.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, we want to fill in for other people.
We do, but we won't give up our spot too
Mm-mm.
easily. So, no, we're just always going to be here.
But,
I was just asking Carl, you know, my birthday is coming up, and I thought maybe I would take the night off. And what did he say to me?
No.
Are Are you crazy? You are not taking the night off.
You are not taking your birthday off.
See, so I'll be here.
Did I work on my birthday?
You did, but I'm expecting like a big to-do for that.
I mean, do you know how like... I mean, that's like to take it off on your birthday.
You know what it is? I'm kind of like a big kid, and I just feel like I should be the special one that
you
day.
You can take off the day before and the day after.
Not the day before. No, that's a Saturday.
Oh, okay. Well, take off the day after.
Okay, thanks. That's a great idea.
All right, time for Fibber McGee and Molly. You know, they were a real-life husband and wife, Jim and Marion Jordan. They were natives of Peoria, Illinois, right here. Yeah not that far away. And they had a comedy show that premiered in 1935 on the radio, a show called Fibber McGee and Molly. And they lived at 79 Wistful Vista in Wistful Vista, USA. This series was co-created by Don Quinn. And it was written by Don Quinn. And there was all these characters, Lisa, as you know, that paid visits to Fibber McGee and Molly, including Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve, Mayor Latrivia, Wallace Wimple, Horatio K. Boomer, Doc Gamble, and many others. And then there was the running gag of Fibber's hall closet. You know, he had a very stuffed hall closet
kinda
with all
like
kinds
of... Kind of like your house.
Yeah, kind of like my closet.
I've seen it, and your refrigerator's always busting out.
You open it up, and just stuff pours out everywhere. And then there were two spinoffs to the show. There was The Great Gildersleeve and Beulah. Very popular radio series, Fibber McGee and Molly. We have a broadcast for you now from December 4th, 1945. They take a winter walk to Dugan's Lake. Here's part one now of Fibber McGee and Molly.
Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly. The makers of Johnson's Wax products for home and industry present Fibber McGee and Molly, written by Don Quinn and Phil Leslie, with music by the King's Men and Billy Mills Orchestra. Do you remember the last time you walked down the shining hallway of a big modern office building or a hospital corridor? Did you stop to wonder how the floors in schools, hospitals, and public buildings are protected against the thousands of feet that tramp across them? How they're kept beautiful in spite of all that traffic? Well, if you were to look into the janitor's supply room in these buildings, you'd find Johnson's Wax polishes in a great many of them. Yes, those famous Johnson's Wax products are used in the maintenance of millions of square feet of such floors from coast to coast. Careful tests have proved the wax method to be best for beauty, best for economy, and labor saving. And in these fields, too, polishes that bear the Johnson label are given top rating. If you have anything to do with the problem of maintaining the floors in schools, hospitals, churches, office, and public buildings, it will pay you to write to S.C. Johnson, Racine, Wisconsin, or Brantford, Canada, for full details. Winter is a wonderful time of the year, if you care for that sort of thing. Some people like to stay home by the fire. Others like to go out and skate for hours on end. They don't even care which end. And here at 79 Wistful Vista are two of our favorite winter sports, Fibber McGee and Molly.
Don't get so close to the fireplace, dearie, you'll fall in.
Think I ought to put on another log on?
No, I don't. You've got it so hot in here now, the doorknobs are turning brown.
Yeah. Maybe it is a little warm at that. I'll open the window a second. Get a load of that ozone.
Put that window down, please.
Oh, boy, that air is wonderful out there.
Well, leave it out there. Don't bring it in here.
This is the kind of a night for a long walk, you know what? I'd like to get into my mucklucks, wrap a muffler around my neck, and hike out to Dugan's Lake and back.
Well, include me as the saying goes out. I'm very happy right here, with my glass of root beer, my new murder mystery, and my pan full of popcorn, if you'll pardon the vulgar expression.
Yeah, but
yeah, you hitch up the dog sled and carry the serum to Alaska. Mommy stays home. Go on, mush.
Yeah. Shucks, we may not have another night like this all winter. Clear, sharp, and beautiful. Makes your blood tingle.
I can get the same effect by sitting on my foot for 20 minutes.
Oh, gee whiz, I don't want to go alone. I just thought
you were just bluffing, dearie. I know you. You wouldn't stir away from this fireplace tonight if it was snowing $10 bills.
Oh, yeah? Well, I'll show you who's bluffing, Tootsie. By George, I'm going to get into my coat and walk clear out to Dugan's Lake and back. That's where I'm going to walk clear out to and back.
Your mittens are on the hall table.
Huh? Oh, okay. Well, here I go. I'm going now.
Hello, Mrs. McGee, Mr. McGee.
Oh, hi, Alice.
Hello, Alice, dear.
You both look comfortable and happy sitting by this wonderful fire.
Well, himself here thinks it's very exhilarating weather, Alice. He's even thinking of taking a long walk.
Out to Dugan's Lake and back, Alice.
Are you kidding, Mr. McGee? Why, it's colder than the keel of a kayak.
Bah, just a tang in the air, that's all. Look, what do you say we all go? We can throw snowballs on the way and build a snowman. Dive into snowdrifts. Have fun. Come on, let's go.
Have some popcorn, Alice?
Yes, thank you. What are you reading, Mrs. McGee?
Oh, it's a new crime club book, Alice. The Man Who Asked Why.
Oh,
it's wonderful. I've read page 39 four times. Thanks to my little lover of the great outdoors here.
Okay, sissies, okay, I'll go alone then. You two panty waist can stay here and make like a couple of hothouse petunias.
Oh, well, I couldn't go anyway, Mr. McGee. Bud's calling for me in half an hour. We're going to a movie.
Oh, who's Bud, dear?
Bud is the floor walker in my department at the Bon Ton, who always wears the carnation in his buttonhole's cousin.
I see. Well, you'll have to sit, if you don't get started pretty soon, because all the theaters are pretty crowded these days, in the balcony.
You and Bud will be perfectly welcome to stay here by the fire, Alice. There's plenty more popcorn and apples and marshmallows.
Oh, gee, thanks, Mrs. McGee. Maybe I will ask Bud to stay here this evening. We could sit by the fire and... Oh, look at Mr. McGee. You look like you were going to the North Pole, Mr. McGee.
Enjoy yourself, dearie.
Oh, I will, believe me. A few miles in this bracing air and
I'll get it.
Wait till I take this overcoat off.
You don't have to take your coat off to answer the phone.
Maybe somebody wants me to stay home for something or other. Hello? Who? Oh, yeah, she's right here. It's for you, Alice.
Oh, thanks, Mr. McGee. Hello? Yes, this is Alice. What? No, that wasn't my father. That was the house that I rent a room in, Zoner. Yes. Well, look, Bud, how about if we stay right here tonight? The fireplace is... What? Fine. Goodbye, Bud. He says I talked him into it.
Well, get going, McGee. Here's your coat and mittens.
Huh? Oh, well, okay. Well, so long.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Well, here I go.
Hello, McGee. Anybody home?
Gosh, old Doc Gamble. Come on in, Doc. Take off your things. Here, Molly, take my coat. I can't go out now. Yeah, we got company. Ah, good old Doc. Come on right in, Doc. Sit a spell. I want you to go.
Well, this has all been very nice, but I don't want to upset any of your plans. I see little Bucklewart here is all dressed up to go out.
Ah, forget it, Doc. Stick around. I'm just going out for a little stroll is all. Nothing important.
A little stroll? In this blizzard? Why, your ears would drop off before you got to the corner.
Hmm?
Not that that wouldn't be a facial improvement.
Yeah? He says he's going to walk out to Dugan's Lake and back, Doctor.
Creepers, that's quite a hike. I rode out there once on the back of a fellow I knew at the airplane plant named Ozzie Simpson's motorcycle. And was it ever rugged? Oh, you said it.
Oh, sure. You're all making a lot of fuss about a little walk in the crisp winter air. I like winter walking. I feel marvelous with the wind in my face, head up, chest out, swinging my arms with the frosty stars twinkling down.
Oh, stop it, you little double-malted extrovert. Well, you hate winter weather as much as I do. Any time I deliberately walk into a gale, it'll be Gail Patrick. Where are you going, Alice?
Well, I've got to go up and fix my hair, Doctor. My boyfriend is coming over. Have a nice walk, Mr. McGee.
Thanks, kid. I will.
Take off your things, boys, and relax. I guess McGee's in for the night.
Why, of course he is. Ain't a fit night out for man nor beast. Not that McGee could be classified as either one.
I never heard such a lot of silly nonsense about a little walk in the fresh air.
Okay, go ahead, deep freeze. We'll give you a 10-minute start, and then we'll send out the St. Bernards. What a switch that is. The dog's going to you.
I can take it. I got Indian blood in me. I'm 1/16 Potawatomi.
You know, I think he really is, Doctor.
Betcha.
At least he dances much better alone than he does with me.
Well, if he's 1/16 Indian, my mummy was an Egyptian. What does it prove, anyway? That's for me.
How do you know, Doctor?
Anytime the weather gets below zero and I'm chatting comfortably in a warm home with friends and the phone rings, it's for me. Somebody's child has just swallowed a toy soldier, and I've got to go and demobilize him.
Well, what'd you expect? Did you take up medicine so he could sit in your big fat office all the...
I'll get it. 79 Wistful Vista, Molly McGee speaking. Who? Yes, he's right here. For you, Doctor.
It is? Thank you. Gamble speaking. Yes. Well, yes, I... The bishop. Great Scott. Don't move him till I get there. Yes, I'll hurry. Hand me my coat and hat, McGee, quick. See you later, folks.
Oh, my gosh, something serious, Doctor?
Yes, when I left the hospital, I was in the middle of a chess game with one of the interns, and if he moves that bishop, I'm checkmated. Good night.
Well, better put your hat and coat away, dearie. I knew you wouldn't really go for a walk tonight.
No, you did you? You think that big fat pill pusher talked me out of it, did you? No, sir, he just got my back up. That's just what he got up. Hand me my mittens again.
Here.
Hey, wait a minute. You don't think I ought to stay till Alice's boyfriend gets here?
Oh, no. You run along, or I'll begin to suspect you of deliberately stalling.
Why, Molly, how could you think such a thing? Much less say it. Why, I've been just waiting for a night like this, with the lacy branches of the trees glittering with ice.
Oh, my.
With the clean, fresh air blowing through these mittens. I've got a hole in them, did you know it?
When you get back, sweetheart. Have a nice walk.
Huh? Oh, I sure will. Well, so long.
Hello there. Anybody home?
Oh, well, hi, Junior. Come on in. Hey, Molly, here's Wilcox. Cold out there.
Yeah. Say, I don't want to break up anything, Mac, if you were going out. Hello, Molly.
Hello, Mr. Wilcox. Take off your coat and sit over here by the fire.
You're not interfering with a thing, Junior. Mighty glad to see you. I was merely going out for a little walk.
Out to Dugan's Lake and back.
Dugan's Lake? Why, there are 10-foot snowdrifts between here and Dugan's Lake. They wouldn't find your body till spring. Why, it's so cold out, General Grant's statue is flapping his arms.
Please, Junior, you know I don't like to hear people exaggerate. Anyway, cold weather don't frighten me. I was a fur trapper up north of Winnipeg for several years, you know that. And that's where they make the weather. I'll never forget one time... Here, let's take our coats off and be comfortable, Junior, huh?
Okay.
Yeah, that's it. I'll never forget the time I was running my trap line and I smacked into a blizzard 32 miles from my cabin.
Gee, was it cold?
Was it cold? Junior, it was so cold the teeth in my pocket comb were chattering. The smoke from my campfire froze solid before it got 5 feet in the air. Just kind of congealed and fell over on the ground. And that's what saved my life.
Tell us about it, McGee, as if anybody could stop you.
Well, sir, quick's a flash. I piled peat on the campfire.
Peat? That's a kind of an inflammable turf, isn't it?
Yeah, but I was referring to Pete Umguk, an Eskimo that was working with me that season. I threw peat on the fire because he was wearing a sheepskin coat that would make a big smoke, you see. Well, sir, fast as the smoke froze and fell down, I'd grab it and start piling it up. You ever handle any frozen smoke?
No, but we've heard a lot of hot air that was pretty solid.
All right, that is the first portion of Fibber, McGee, and Molly from December 4th, 1945, Winter Walk to Dugan's Lake with Jim and Marion Jordan. And Shirley Mitchell is in this cast. I had the great pleasure of kind of hanging out with her and having a bite to eat years ago. She plays Alice Darling in this show, but she was also on The Great Gildersleeve. She was Leela Ransom on The Great Gildersleeve for a while and other shows. And that was so much fun to get that. She was so nice. And we actually did a recreation of The Great Gildersleeve, and I played the Leroy role.
Right.
And she was Leela, and Willard Waterman was Gildersleeve. And somebody told me that they have a copy of that video. I would love to get a copy of that.
Yeah, I would too.
You know, playing, hey, Unc. I was playing Leroy in that.
Yeah.
So that was a lot of fun. We did that, I think it was either in Ohio or New York where we did that. But anyway, that was a lot of fun getting to meet a lot of these people from these classic radio shows. All right, let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Hey, Lisa.
Yeah.
How are you enjoying your 10 classic radio shows on 5 CDs from joining the Classic Radio Club?
Well, I do love the club for many reasons. First of all, I like a good deal. I will tell you that. And I got a deal $4.99. It's 10 of the greatest shows on 5 CDs. It includes Abbott and Costello.
$4.99.
That's plus shipping
for
and
five
handling.
CDs.
But here's the thing. The beauty of this is every single month I'm going to get a whole new set of CDs at my doorstep. And what a surprise that is to open my door and find that. Now, you do charge me a little more than everybody else, but it's okay. I'm willing to pay it.
Yeah, no, the 5 CD collection that you get by joining the Classic Radio Club, and you can join by just going to classicradioclub.com. It's normally $39.95 for this 5-CD set of 10 classic radio shows, but you get it for only $4.
I paid $4.99 plus shipping and handling. Do you want to know what was on my CDs?
What was on it?
I have Abbott and Costello, Sam Spade, Dimension X, Escape, Fibber, McGee, and Molly, Gunsmoke, Have Gun, Will Travel, Inner Sanctum, Jack Benny, and Suspense. So this is the top of the top of the top.
There's, and you know,
no My Favorite Husband, but I'm expecting that will be coming.
I saw your dad snag that from you.
He did.
Lisa was showing him the CD set. He was like, could I have this?
Well, he said, can I have this?
Can I have this?
And I said, yes. But you know
what? Ask him to join the club.
That's okay. I got it.
Why should he join? He's got hers.
Exactly.
He took her. He literally took hers.
He literally did. But here's the thing. He lives about 2 minutes from me. He's right around the block. So
you let him borrow it. That was nice.
Well,
listen, you'll get another 5 CD set in just a couple of days.
Wait a minute. Her dad and I talked afterwards. She's not getting it back.
Well, folks, you should join the Classic Radio Club. You will absolutely love it. We've had tons and tons of people signing up for it. It's only $4.99. You will get a 5-CD set with 10 of the greatest classic radio shows of all time. The quality is amazing. Every month, and I am choosing 10 more shows from my library of over 100,000 shows, the best quality and the best programs of the golden age of radio, and I'm putting them on 5 CDs. And these are not burned CDs. These are replicated CDs with a beautiful case, and we send them to you along with liner notes. I'm writing these copious liner notes for it, and you will get 10 shows every single month, and you will never get a duplicate show.
So I just want to add one thing to your thoroughness.
Yeah.
So if you could either go to classicradioclub.com, or if you'd prefer to talk to a live operator, you can call toll-free. The number is 888-642-6556. I'll say it one more time, 888-642-6556. Check it out, classicradioclub.com.
Yeah, the website is really self-explanatory. You can go there. It's all there, all about how you can join the club, right?
Right.
All right, Lisa. Okay. But you're enjoying your CDs.
I am.
All right, very good.
I'm a happy member.
All right, very, very good. Let's get back now to Fibber, McGee, and Molly.
Well, sir, frozen smoke is kind of like putty. Quite pleasant to work with. And in 15 minutes, I'd build us a little igloo out of that frozen smoke that Pete and I lived in for 10 days. And that darn near cost us our lives.
Why, pal? Did you inhale part of the ceiling?
No, but me and Pete was playing a game of Red Dog when the thaw come. And all of a sudden, there we was, strangling and gasping and coughing. Yes. That frozen smoke had melted and was choking us to death. Holding my breath, I grabs Pete and hauls him out into the open air. Then I rushes back into that cloud of smoke.
Oh, dear. What on earth for, dearie?
I'd left my cigarette burning. Dangerous thing to do in the woods. Well, sir, that little experience taught me a valuable lesson, Junior.
It did, eh?
Yes, sir. From that day on, I never played another game of Red Dog with an Eskimo.
Well, if you should trap a few seals on your way to Dugan's Lake tonight, dearie, Mother could use a nice new coat, you know.
Hey, are you serious about taking a walk tonight, Mac?
I never been seriouser in my life, Junior. There's nothing better for the inside of a man than the outside of a house, I always say. Remember, all our famous men have been great walkers.
Oh, I don't know, dearie. You know, Christopher Columbus rode a boat. Paul Revere rode a horse. And Fred Allen rides Jack Benny.
Yes, and don't forget that for a while, walking met a great deal of opposition, too.
What do you mean, opposition? Whom from?
Housewives.
Uh-oh.
Oh, how do you like that? I ran into that with my big fat eyes wide open. Why can't I ever...
Well, what I mean is, housewives used to complain about people walking over their kitchen linoleum, tracking it up with mud and snow and rain. But that was before they discovered Johnson's self-polishing glow coat.
You're not whistling Dixie, Mr. Wilcox.
Yes, you know that housewives now, they know that spilled things and foot tracks can be so easily and quickly wiped off a Johnson glow-coated linoleum. Why, now they welcome the milkman on a muddy day.
Yeah, they do if he's got any butter, anyway. Otherwise, they
might
get...
In fact, you know, glow coat is one of the great labor-saving devices of the 20th century. No rubbing, no buffing. Just spread it around and let it dry. No fuss, no fume, no fret. No more popcorn?
No. Now, McGee just ate the last handful, Mr. Wilcox. Can you wait till I pop some more?
No, thank you. I've got to get along home. My wife promised me we were going to have Crab Louie for dinner tonight.
Oh, well, trot along, Waxy. Don't keep him waiting.
Keep who waiting?
This Crab Louie, whoever he is.
Oh, okay, pal. Good night, Molly.
Good night, Mr. Wilcox.
Oh, it's cold.
Now, for your information, dearie, Crab Louie is a kind of a salad.
How do you know? You ever meet him?
Not a him. It's a dish made of crab meat.
Oh, I see. Did he invent it?
Who?
This guy, Louie.
Louie who?
Well, search me. I never met him. He's a friend of Wilcox's.
Well, we'll ask them to bring him over some night.
Sure. What do we care if he's a crab? We'll jolly him up a bit. Well, I suppose I better be making some more popcorn.
No, dearie, I'll make the popcorn. You go on and take your walk. That is, if you weren't just kidding about it all this time.
What do you mean, kidding? When I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. Come anything or high water. Where's my overshoes? Ah, oh, here they are.
Are you really going, McGee?
You betcha. And save a little popcorn for me. I won't be gone more than 3 or 4 hours. Nothing like a brisk hike in the winter air to give a guy an appetite. Well, so long now.
Goodbye, Pip.
Thank you, Mr. McGee. I was just about to ring the doorbell.
Oh, well, look who's here. Hi, Carsty. I'm glad to see you. Come in. Hey, Molly, look who's here. It's Mrs. Carstairs.
Do come in, Mrs. Carstairs. Shut that door, McGee, from either side.
Carsty, you'll never know how glad I am to see you. Shake hands and pardon my mittens.
Thank you, Mr. McGee. Goodness, that fire feels good, Mrs. McGee. If I may quote my husband, I'm colder than a well digger's memories. But am I detaining you, Mr. McGee? I see you're dressed to go out.
Oh, no, nothing important, Carsty. Just going out for a little stroll.
Yes, out to Dugan's Lake and back.
Really? At 12 below zero? If you have a grudge against your insurance company, Mr. McGee, wouldn't it be simpler just to stand up in the bathtub and stick your wet finger into a light socket?
I guess you underestimate me as an outdoors man, Carsty. Did you know I was a fur trapper for several years up in the Saskatchewan country?
Oh, dear.
I'll never forget. One day I got caught in a terrific blizzard 32 miles from my cabin.
Good heavens, Mr. McGee. Was it cold?
Was it cold? My cow gave ice cream for 2 weeks.
Amazing.
Yes, it seems an utter impossibility.
Anyway, Karsty, here I was, caught in this terrific blizzard. Even the smoke from my campfire froze before it got 5 feet into the air. Just kind of congealed and fell to the ground. And that's what saved my life. Because quick's a flash, I piled peat on the fire, and when I got him going...
The King's Men sing Yatata Yatata.
When I put my arm around you, and we're going for a walk, must you yatata, 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 talk, talk, talk. When we're sitting close together in a cozy taxi cab, must you yatata, 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 gab, gab, gab. Aristotle, mathematics, economics, and teachers. Then psychology, biology, photography, biography. Slow down, who cares? There's a brand new moon this evening, and the weather should be fine. If you yet a day, yet a day, yet a day, yet a day, same old line. I'll politely close your lips with mine. Past my throat. Here's a little sample conversation I heard. Pardon me if I quote. My last pair of nylons developed to run from the knee to the toe. Do you know anyone who can get any more without standing in line? Don't you think Spencer Tracy is simply divine? Shall we go to a movie, my dear? By the way, do you like the new turban I'm wearing today? Can we find a cafe with a nice atmosphere? I would so love a steak. Did you say something, dear? You do it every time. There's a brand new moon this evening, and the weather should be fine. If you yet a day, yet a day, yet a day, yet a day, same old line. Though I'd really love to pop you, I know the only way to stop you is to close your lips with mine. Sir,
and that little experience taught me a valuable lesson, Karsty.
Did it indeed, Mr. McGee?
Yes, sir. From that day on, I never played Red Dog with an Eskimo.
Wasn't that an interesting experience, Mrs. Carstairs?
It really was, my dear. And while it might seem incredible to some, I happen to know it's true.
You do?
Yes. You see, Mr. Carstairs and I were motoring through Maine one winter, en route to our hunting lodge.
Oh.
My husband goes up there every year to shoot moose.
And what happened, Mrs. Carstairs?
We had a blowout just as we encountered a blizzard. But my husband leaped out of the car, lit a cigar, and started blowing smoke rings, which froze almost instantly, of course.
Oh, well, Nat.
Finally, he blew one the exact size of our tires, mounted it on the rim, and we reached our hunting lodge in the nick of time.
What did you do when it melted, Millicent?
Oh, we're still using it, my dear. Yes, it's quite amusing how that tire has baffled our ration board. And do you know, every cold winter day since that time, my husband has smoked rough-cut tobacco.
What for, Karsty?
He's trying to blow a smoke ring with a tread on it. Well, this has all been very entertaining, but I simply must go. Good evening.
Good night, Mrs. Carstairs.
Good night, Millicent. You ever hear such a line of malarkey in all your born days? Who does she think she's kidding with that smoke ring stuff? Frozen smoke rings. Why, that's impossible.
You know how some people exaggerate, dearie.
Yeah.
And you better get out of that overcoat. It's too late to go for a walk now.
Too late for who? I ain't afraid of the dark. I said I was going to walk to Dugan's Lake and back, and by George, I'm going to do it. And right now, too. Where's my mittens? Oh, here they are. Well, so long.
Bless his brave little heart. He hates walking like a jockey and snow like the Miami Chamber of Commerce. But he'll trudge out to Dugan's Lake like a little man.
Hey, Molly, look who I found coming up our front walk. Old Civic Virtue himself. Come on in, Latrivia. Old man, come on in.
Quit shoving me, McGee.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor.
Good evening, Mrs. McGee. Though it certainly is a bit of cold one.
Yeah, it's cold, but it's stimulating, boy.
I don't suppose you'd have a small glass of something.
My goodness, what's the matter with me? McGee, get his honor a nice cold glass of root beer.
Why, sure, I'll...
No. Thank you, anyway. Come to think of it, if I took any liquids, I'd clink all the way home. As I was saying to our street commissioner this morning, Bunderson, I said, this is the coldest...
Incidentally, Latrivia, how much does he get a year?
Who, the street commissioner?
Yeah.
Well, you're a taxpayer, so I suppose you're entitled to the information. His salary is $7,500 per annum.
How much is that a year?
Per annum means per year, McGee.
Oh, well, is that in addition to his commissions, Latrivia?
What commissions?
Any commissions. He's a commissioner, isn't he?
Yes, but he doesn't work on commission. He gets a straight salary.
Well, then why do they call him a commissioner?
Because he belongs to the street commission, you idiot.
Oh, he belongs to the commission, but the commissions don't belong to him, huh?
Is that your idea of fair play, Latrivia? Guy works all year long earning commissions, and the city says, no, you take your straight salary and like it. By George, I'm going to start an investigation, Latrivia, that'll start...
You go right ahead, McGee. I've been investigated by bigger dunderheads than you in my day, and if I can...
Now, there's no use flying into a rage, Mr. Mayor. No. I assure you the investigation will be fair and impartial.
Certainly. All we want is a square deal for our public servants.
Of course, but then...
Man earns a commission, he's entitled to get a commission.
But he doesn't...
Plus his salary.
But he's not entitled to a commissary. To a commission. As a member of the common council. A council. What I mean to say is that the street... He's a... We all in the... that is the... McGee.
Hey?
Will you do me a favor?
Why, of course you will, Mr. Mayor.
Just name it, Latrivia.
Well, when you get to Dugan's Lake, will you walk out to the exact middle of it and jump up and down? Todd!
Now, there goes a very thoughtless guy. I don't suppose he ever stopped to think what might happen if I jumped up and down on the ice on Dugan's Lake. It's pretty thin out there in the middle. Fella could bust right through.
Oh, well, he didn't know what he was saying, most likely.
No.
Look, dearie, if you're not going to Dugan's Lake, and I wouldn't blame you if you didn't...
What do you mean if I'm not going? Certainly I'm going, and right away, too. I got my backup about this thing, by George. I'll hate myself in the morning if I don't go through with it now. So long, baby.
Wait a minute. Here's your mittens.
Huh? Oh, thanks. Well, so long.
Enjoy yourself, darling.
Okay.
Heavenly days. I do believe he's really going. Well, now, where was I? Oh, yes, page 39. The alley where the dead man had been found was a blind areaway between a building...
Hey, Molly, I'm home, safe and sound. What time is it?
Oh, hello, dearie. It's just 10:30. You've only been gone 3 hours. Did you enjoy your walk?
Oh, it was marvelous. I'm pretty tired, but it was worth it. Did you ever see the moonlight on Lake Dugan in wintertime?
Oh.
I'm telling you, it's a spectacle. The stillness, the blue shadows of the trees on the dunes, the swoop of a night owl over the drifted snow. Ah, by George, Molly, it's an experience that I'll never forget.
I'll get it, McGee. You must be completely worn out. Sit down and rest, sweet. 79 Wistful Vista, Molly McGee speaking. Yeah? Who? Oh, he did? Ah, well, thank you very much, I'm sure. Goodbye. It was Kramer's drugstore, McGee.
Kramer's drugstore? What'd they want?
They said to tell you you left your mittens on the pinball machine.
This is Harlow Wilson. Wilcox, speaking for the makers of Johnson's Wax Products for home and industry, inviting you all to be with us again next Tuesday night. Good night.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Harlow Wilcox there doing the announcing. If I have any more babies, Lisa, I'm naming them all Harlow.
I won't let you have any more babies.
You won't let me?
No, three is your limit.
Harlow, I like that name.
I do too.
Harlow. Maybe I should just buy a little puppy dog, like a little dog, and name it Harlow. I would. If I had a little dog, I would name it Harlow.
Okay, well, when I get another dog, which is never, because I love mine too much, I'll name it Harlow, too.
All right, that was Fibber McGee and Molly, December 4th, 1945, starring Jim and Marianne Jordan. Let's take a break. When we come back, it's more of the WGN Radio Theater. All right, Lisa Wolf, it is almost midnight, which means it'll be Monday morning.
Happy Labor Day. Wow. Are you doing something special for Labor Day?
I'm trying to think. I am going to actually work on Labor Day.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm actually going to work on the computer, start working on next week's show.
Good.
I'm picking
out. Listeners will appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm actually picking out, not for for next month, because I have the shows picked out for the Classic Radio Club next month, but I'm going to get 1 month ahead. I'm going to pick out the 10 shows that are going to be for the following month, and then give those to Mike because he digitally remasters them, and then they go to the duplication house, and they're all ready to go.
Well, I have some suggestions. I'll let you know off
the
air.
Well, I know you like Lucille Ball.
I have some.
So
other
I
ones.
Did pick a Lucille Ball.
Oh, good. I'm
I picked
so happy.
My favorite husband coming up.
Oh,
yeah.
Good.
So what's really fun is I have, as I said, I have over 100,000 shows. And I get to go into the really deep into the archives and find these real gems. A lot of shows that maybe have not been heard since they originally were broadcast. I mean, I have shows that we have out of the Library of Congress. And obviously we get these from the master, the masters from the people who created them. And it's a lot of fun to choose 10 shows every single month and send them to our listeners. So do check out the Classic Radio Club. And I know someone asked what the number is again. So the number to talk to a live operator to join the club is 888-642-6556. Right, Lisa?
Yep, you got it.
All right, when we come back from the news, we will have Jeff Regan, investigator from 1950. The Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. It is 12:01 in the morning. Time for the news. Here's Roger Badish.
You simply take a favorite today, and you flavor it here with just a note or two of blue harmony
to watch.
Tell the orchestra to play staccato
below,
and then you,
you know, if they were doing the karaoke the other night, they would have probably won. But you and I,
was it a contest?
Although you were very good at the karaoke, I was just brutal.
I don't think it was a contest. I think it was all in fun. So
yeah.
You know, don't be so hard on yourself.
That was Bing Crosby there. Who else was singing along? Do you know, Ashley, who that was or no?
Gary Crosby.
Oh, it was the Crosby. It
Crosby,
was
father, son.
It was father and son. Yeah. Wow, very cool.
Well, wow, you should think about that,
Well, you
Carl.
Know what? My son is here with me,
but he
doesn't want to
sing.
He probably doesn't want to sing.
You probably don't either.
CJ is here with me at the radio station, and he's very impressed with WGN. This is quite the radio station,
he
said.
We're quite an impressive show here.
We are, absolutely. So this hour, Jeff Regan, investigator from 1950, starring Frank Graham, and it is brought to you by Cat's Pride. We have Cat's Pride's game, Crack the Quote. What's the movie?
The Truman Show.
Truman Show. Jim Carrey, right?
1998.
That long ago.
Yep.
20 years ago.
Isn't that crazy?
Oh, my goodness gracious. All right. Well, what do they win?
They are going to win two tickets to the Chicago premiere of Waste Watchers, the musical, which is...
That's a belly dance.
Yeah, it probably isn't. As a matter of fact, it definitely isn't. Opens September 13th at the Royal George Theater.
Well, when you watch a waist, that's a belly dance.
That's probably right. I'm sure you're right.
All right. So caller number what?
Caller number six.
Number six. Call us 312-981-7200. Win some tickets to see Waist Watchers. We'll be right back.
It's time now for Crack the Quote, brought to you by Cat's Pride.
Hello, Lisa.
Hi, we have Tim on the phone. Hey, Tim.
How you doing, Lisa?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm fine, thank
good,
you.
Good. We're going to do a little Crack the Quote, the Truman Show. We're going to add Roger in. How you doing, Roger?
I'm here.
Good. We're glad you're with us. Here we go. Number one, I dress how I feel. Number two, overplanning kills magic. Number three, somebody help me. I'm being spontaneous.
Number one?
You like number one, I dress how I feel. Roger, you like that one?
I'm going to go with number three.
Somebody help me, I'm being spontaneous.
I'll go with number two.
All right, over planning kills the magic. One of you is right, let's see.
Somebody help me, I'm being spontaneous!
There we go, number three.
Roger actually got one right.
Roger got one right, and that is a big day here at WGN. That is a real
is that
big
his first one? Is that his first
I
one?
I think it's your
no,
first
it's
one. So congratulations, Roger, but more importantly, Tim, you are a winner. You've got two tickets to the Chicago premiere of Waist Watchers, the musical. It is not a belly dance. It opens September 13th at the Royal George Theater. Sounds like a lot of fun, and this theater does great work. Check it out at wastewatchersthemusical.com. Or call the Royal George box office 312-988-9000. Thanks for calling in, Tim.
I thank you.
Take care.
Thanks, Tim. All right, it's time now for Jeff Regan Investigator. You know, Jack Webb was the first actor to play Jeff Regan Investigator. This was a detective series, obviously. Debuted on CBS in 1948, and Regan was a tough private eye. He worked for the L.A.-based International Detective Bureau, run by his money-grubbing boss, Anthony J. Lyon. It was written by E. Jack Newman, and it featured L.A.'s finest supporting casts, including Jeff Chandler, Paul Frees, and William Conrad. Each show opened with, "I get 10 a day, plus expenses, they call me the Lion's Eye." Wilms Herbert was Anthony J. Lyon. Now, when the first year season ended, it was resurrected the next year, but not with Jack Webb. You know why, Lisa? Because Jack Webb went on to great fame as Sergeant Joe Friday on Dragnet.
Sure.
So they had to find a new actor, and they did. They cast Frank Graham as Regan with Frank Nelson as the Lion's Eye. So that's what we have for you on this edition. It is a Frank Graham episode called She's Lovely, She's Engaged, She Eats Soybeans. That's the name of the show.
That is odd.
That's a very crazy
title.
I like
it, though.
From July 9th, 1950, here's part one now of Jeff Regan Investigator.
My name's Regan. I work for Anthony J. Lyon, Detective Bureau. They call me the Lion's Eye.
Sunday at 8:30, and CBS brings you Jeff Regan, Investigator, starring Frank Graham as Regan, with Frank Nelson as Anthony J. Lyon. So stand by for mystery and suspense and adventure in tonight's transcribed story. She's lovely, she's engaged, she eats soybeans.
This one revolved around a beauty, the kind that drives some men mad, some to murder. Her name, last week, was Miss Fireworks on the Fourth. But she didn't have to worry about catching on fire. Everything was insured. But there was somebody that didn't like her in a bathing suit, and a big guy that shot skeet and never missed. But once, I got a call from my boss, the Lion, last Wednesday morning before breakfast. Said he had to see me right away. When I got down to the detective bureau, the Lion was chewing slowly and holding a
picture, Jeffrey, a photograph to be exact.
Chewing your cud, Lion?
Wheat kernels, Jeffrey, sunny fruit of Mother Earth. I saved some for your breakfast.
Where's the marmalade?
Don't scoff, my boy. These golden grains of patented wheat.
Who's got a patent on wheat?
Steve Albright. And this isn't just any wheat. It's grown only in a sun-splashed acre of alluvial soil, watered by a gushing spring of... have a kernel, Jeffrey.
Thanks.
It's the new miracle health food, my boy. If you're heavy, it slims you. If you're lean, it builds you up. And you need only 10 kernels a day. Here, have another.
The picture, Fatso.
Yes, the picture. Well, look what the wheat has done for this girl, Jeffrey.
Wrong side up.
Eh? Oh, yes.
Ah, bathing beauty.
A professional, my boy. He travels around the country doing,
this.
Yes. Yeah, but there's trouble afoot, Jeffrey. This lovely girl is in some sort of danger.
What kind?
That's your job, my boy. You must find out. Our retainer of $150 says you do.
Who's Steve Albright?
Her manager. He left me these pictures of the girl, and when I asked how she managed to keep her figure...
He produced a sack of wheat and said, chew slowly.
Something like that.
What's the girl's name?
Name? I guess I forgot to ask.
You're right. Doesn't make any matter. Where do I find the Steve Albright?
Yeah, I have the address right here.
Oh, you're improving.
Here it is. Now give me back my picture and get right out there. Mr. Albright said this girl is a very valuable property.
Some photographs lie, but these told the truth about soft hair flowing down to the waist, a fluted figure tight in a two-piece bathing suit, if you look real close for it. Now, who'd want to get a girl like this into trouble? But somebody did. It was afternoon before I could contact Albright. His office was in a small white stucco building back at the Sunset Strip. No elevators. The directory said Steve Albright, Massive Enterprises Incorporated, Suite 3. I found it. The door said enter. I entered.
Regan, excellent.
The office was one room, a desk, and...
Steve Albright is my name. Perfect. Glad you got here so soon. Excellent.
Glad to know you. Wonderful.
You're thinking this is a small office, that Massive Enterprises is broke. I ask you to examine the books, Mr. Regan.
You've paid us.
They're somewhere in this drawer. Oh, here they are. Excellent.
Where's the girl?
We'll come to her, fine.
Graham.
The books. You see? I go back to 1948. That's when I found her.
What do you call her?
Actual name, Jerry Shoulder. Marvelous. But no one knows her by that name. As you can see in the books, Mr. Regan, it's always something like Miss Gold Coast.
Mm-hmm. See, Chicago, $1,436.56.
2 days' work, pictures, endorsements, radio shots.
Mm-hmm. Good money for 2 days' work.
Jerry was Miss Coal Tar Derivatives for the Duplan Manufacturing Empire.
$2,769.84.
In 3 days, marvelous. Of course, the Flower Festival and all have a bathing beauty contest, but they find it's much simpler and more advantageous to have a professional win. She knows how to pose, she knows what to say and do, and, of course, she's more beautiful.
That makes sense. You say she's in trouble.
We did very well in Kansas City as Miss Ground round for the butchers.
I want to know about now.
Well, since we've been here, Mr. Regan, there have been innuendos, threats against her life.
Why?
I don't know. Well, here, you can see from a picture.
You left pictures of her with Lyon, I'm convinced.
I mean, Mr. Regan, it's seldom that a girl comes along who has all... delightful. I mean, it's insured.
Insurance is a wonderful business.
Yeah, $100,000 overall. And Lloyd's of London will pay $10,000 if she injures those legs of hers.
Mm-hmm. You want me to act as her bodyguard, eh?
Precisely, Graham.
Delightful.
That is, if you feel you can resist her. You see, Mr. Regan, her value as a professional bathing beauty is ruined if she gets mixed up with men. Marries.
Uh-huh. You, got a policy on that, too?
$50,000.
I promise I won't marry the girl.
Your big job is to keep men away from her.
What man? His name?
Banyan. He's tall, good-looking.
Yeah, I know him. It's cheap racketeer.
Oh, excellent. Then we can do business.
Just curiosity, Albright, but what about the golden grains of patented wheat?
Oh, that's just a sideline of our enterprise, Mr. Regan. Women wonder how Jerry Shoulder managed to keep what you see in this photograph. So we started a little health food business on the side.
Yeah, another thing, if something happens to Jerry Shoulder, who gets the insurance money?
Massive Enterprises.
Which is?
Me.
I checked the insurance policies. They seemed genuine. I asked where I could find Jerry Shoulder and was told the beauty parlor. Where else? And that's where I headed, only instead of a parlor, it was a beauty salon. The doors were plate glass, the doorman an electric eye. The plate glass swung out. I swung in. I sank into the deep rug like it was something alive. The place was wired for music. There were flowers and a statue of Aphrodite, life-size, standing in the fountain. The official greeter was Trey Chick in ascot tie and cutaway pants.
What's it to you, Mac?
He said, noticing my glance.
You maybe want your hair done.
If you don't mind my asking, why are you working here?
The slick dames gotta get their kicks. I remind them of Humphrey Bogart.
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, now, Humph, could you tell me...
My name is Mungo.
Who was that?
Just a dame getting beautiful. You was asking?
I, looking for a girl named Jerry Shoulder.
All right, wise gang. In here. Mr. Banyan will want to talk to you.
The big guy rammed his shoulder into my stomach, then grabbed my arm and twisted it behind my back. He opened a door and shoved me into a room. He locked the door from the outside. There was another door, and it was locked, too. I looked around the room. It was like a medieval torture chamber. Weird racks and iron maidens connected to steam pipes. Metal rollers and headless horses. All to change nature's idea of what a woman should look like. I tried the door again. This time it opened. Only someone was coming in. She was young. She was lovely. She wore a bathing suit. Tall, deeply tanned brunette. Moving easily toward me on calendar legs.
You want to see me?
There's more?
I'm Jerry Shoulder.
I thought maybe.
I don't get to meet men. I'm sorry you caught me looking like this.
It's all right.
You see, I just had my hair done and had to wrap it in a towel.
Yeah.
Mungo tried to keep me out of here, but I persuaded him to let me come in. You wanted me for something?
I'm your new bodyguard, lady.
Steve's starting that again.
Doesn't want you to get into trouble.
Oh, you wouldn't let anything happen to me, would you, Mr.
Regan?
Oh, Mr. Regan, the lion's eye. Oh, I've heard of you. I've heard you're very good.
On some things.
Well, you mustn't pay too much attention to my manager.
Your
Mr.
manager
Regan.
Says you've been threatened.
Oh, there must be some mistake. I've never been threatened in my life. Oh, pardon me while I climb up on my horse.
Huh? Oh.
There.
Yeah.
No, don't leave, Mr. Regan. Stay right here. It's time for my exercise.
Do you have any idea who might want to do you bodily harm?
I just love exercise, Mr. Regan.
Yeah, sure. Could it be a man named Banyan?
Mr. Regan, you've got to help me get out of this place.
You man, come here.
There was a woman standing in the doorway. There was a gun in her hand.
I know how to use this. Get away from her.
She motioned me toward the door. I obliged. Then we were in the hall, and I noticed the woman was holding the gun awkwardly. The safety was on.
You men are all alike.
Yeah, they tell me. Now, give me the gun.
You stay away from Jerry.
The gun.
I'll just put it back in my purse, but you stay away from Jerry now.
The woman dropped the gun into her purse. She wore a plain, hugging jersey dress. Gray hair in a bun at the back of her head. The kind of a woman you see in bars. Late. Alone.
We've got to keep men away from Jerry. I'm sorry if I frightened you.
Don't tell me you're a private eye.
Oh, I'm Martha, Jerry's wardrobe mistress. I keep her bathing suits in cool, dry places. They're latex, you know.
Do you know a man named Albright?
Sure, that's Jerry's manager. He's the one that told me to protect Jerry, keep the men away.
Well, then why didn't you do it? The way she came walking in, anybody could have got to her.
I was busy for a moment in the back, looking for a cool, dry place.
Does Jerry know a small-time racketeer named Banyan?
Well, if she does, I don't know about it. And I'm with her constantly.
Yeah, like today.
Oh, I'll bet you're Jeff Regan.
Yeah, so Albright told you I was on the case,
He
huh?
tells me everything, Mr. Regan.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe he can tell you why Jerry didn't follow us out into the hall.
It does seem strange.
We better take a look in that room. Jerry's shoulder was gone, out the other door. But we still had a catch. Standing in the middle of the 17th century chamber of mechanical horrors was a 20th century mess. The ape in ascot tie and pearl buttons, only now his clothes were torn, his face scratched and bleeding. All right, where's the girl?
I was only trying to
Wake
help.
Wake up, will you? Where is
Mr.
she?
Mr. Banion, he
Banion
said...
Banion again.
Keep her safe from guys.
Snap
said,
out of it, will you?
I couldn't hit his girl. I tried to hold her. She hit me and scratched me.
Is she still
me.
In the building?
She even screamed at me, but I couldn't hit his girl.
Banion, sure. And I know where to find him. Banion operated out of the 70 Club, but when I checked, he wasn't there. I finally caught up with him outside of town, in a spot hidden from the highway. A country club. A gambling joint that featured bare-knuckle bouts, cockfighting, and now, Banion, with his shotgun in his hands, shooting skeet. Pull!
Dead duck. Nice shooting, Banion.
Talking to yourself, Banion?
Huh? Oh, Regan.
Shooting clay pigeons a little out of your line, isn't it, Banion?
Clay pigeons? You never know which way they'll fly. Sharpens the eye. Pull. Yeah. Makes it easy when you're trying for a larger target.
Nice spot you got here.
Doesn't belong to me, if that's what you're after.
No. The way I read it, brand new beauty parlor belongs to you. Likewise, a guy named Mungo. That's your new front.
Regan, it's a salon.
Oh, yeah, I thought. What I'm after, Banion, is a girl named Jerry Shoulder.
Never heard of her.
Beautiful, isn't she?
Very.
Look, I'm playing for keeps.
Oh? You won't mind if I just slip a few more shells into my shotgun?
Just remember, I don't scare.
Oh, I'd almost forgotten.
Open up, Banion. Jerry Shoulder.
You know what my enemies are saying, Regan? That Jerry Shoulder's as good as dead. Pull!
He missed. This time. I checked the club grounds. No Jerry Shoulder. She wasn't with Banion. I headed back to L.A. fast.
All right. That's the first portion of Jeff Regan Investigator from 1950. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Well, Lisa, when we come back here next week on Saturday and Sunday, we have some more great classic radio shows, correct?
We sure do. On Saturday, we have Escape, we have The Great Gildersleeve, and Crime and Peter Chambers.
All right. On Sunday, we have The Shadow and the Dinah Shore Show.
We've rarely played that.
We've never played a Dinah Shore Show yet.
That's probably why it's rare.
Yeah, I just got these in the library. So,
yeah, I'm excited about it.
Oh, yeah, very cool. She had her own radio show for a while. We're going to play an episode next week. But right now we're tuning in to Jeff Regan Investigator. This is called She's Lovely, She's Engaged, She Eats Soybeans. It stars Frank Graham. Here is the conclusion to Jeff Regan Investigator.
It was late when I reached L.A. I had to get the line. I phoned him at his apartment. Nobody home. I called again 15 minutes later. Still no answer. I was getting worried. I went to his apartment. He wasn't there. I checked with the janitor. He told me the line was on the roof. That's where I found him. In bed. Lyon. Hey, Lyon.
Lyon, detective. Oh, it's you, Jeffrey.
Why the boy scouting on the roof?
I'm sleeping in nature's own clean, sweet air. My boy. I moved my cart up here just this evening.
Look, Lyon.
You're sleeping under the stars just as Mother Nature intended.
Lyon,
if
I'm...
Mr. Albright says Miss Shoulder sleeps out even when it's raw. It's part of the health plan. Look at me, Jeffrey. I'm thinner already. You know, I've only had 8 kernels of the patented wheat today instead of 10. I did without dessert.
Listen, Fatso, I'm heading for Jerry Shoulder's hotel. I want you to check on Banion.
Is that low criminal?
Find out where he's been the last few days, how he's been spending his time, everything. Keep an eye on it.
All right, Jeffrey, if you insist.
I insist.
Do you think you'll find Miss Shoulder at a hotel?
Maybe. If she's alive. I dropped the Lion off at police headquarters to get a rundown on Banion. Then I drove to Jerry Shoulder's apartment hotel. The street was quiet and deserted. Most of the windows were black, just a few lights here and there. Patio balconies. Very swank. Inside, there was a self-help elevator. I went up.
Oh,
elevator opened onto a long corridor, a small night light down at the end. The room was 306. I was almost at the door when the door banged open, and coming at me fast was that mug from the beauty parlor, Mungo.
Get out of my way!
No, brother, not this time! My fist found his stomach as soft as pie. He doubled and fell. I jumped over him and ran into the apartment. The lights were on. The living room was empty. I tried the bedroom. The light was on in there, too, glaring white on what I didn't want to see. There was a body lying across the bed. Not Jerry's shoulder. A man's body, a bullet through his chest. The dead man was Steve Albright. The ripped sheet that covered him was stained purple. Steve Albright was dead in Jerry Shoulder's apartment, a bullet hole in his chest, and what looked like purple acid burns through the bedclothes. I'd caught Mungo, the well-dressed ape from the beauty parlor, coming out of the apartment door, and I knew that Mungo worked for Banyan, the racketeer. Albright had hired me as Jerry Shoulder's bodyguard. He'd have done better to have hired me as his. I called candidate homicide. Now, the police photographers were gone. We were waiting for the coroner. Candid sitting on the bed next to Albright's body. Candid was eating Fig Newtons.
Well, I'm glad you held on to Mungo, Regan.
You think he did it, Candid?
Open and shut case.
You know, Jerry's shoulder was insured, but plenty.
Yeah, you said.
I called the night number of the insurance company right after I called you, Candid. They said all her policies were in effect but one. You know which one?
I'm not interested, Regan. I've got the killer.
It was the one that would have paid off to Albright.
The deceased.
If Jerry had married. That policy lapsed a month ago.
Well, my insurance is always lapsing.
Yeah, well, this one lapsed because Albright married Jerry Shoulder himself.
What?
The company wouldn't pay on that. And Albright couldn't let it out because there's no such thing as a married bathing beauty.
So Mungo was nuts about the dame. She gives him the come on. He finds out about her being married, comes up here and...
And?
Have a Fig Newton, Regan. They're real fresh.
And?
Well, he's going to kill the girl like they all do, Regan. You know that. But Mungo gets real mad when he finds her husband in her bed, and he knocks him off.
Mungo denies it.
They all do, Regan.
You know, Canada, the way the bullet entered, looks like it was a hurry-up job.
So Mungo was nervous.
You know Mungo worked for Banyan.
We've got the killer.
Mind if I turn out these lights?
Hey, now, wait a... Regan, I can't see.
Yeah, it's kind of dark in here.
Regan, where are you? I feel something moving. There's a dead guy in here, Regan.
Give your eyes a chance to get used to the dark.
Oh, gee, turn the light on.
Huh? Barely make out the figure on the bed.
In the name of the law, Regan.
Okay, Candid. I've got all I need here. I left Candid and the dead man and headed for my car. But I saw something across the street that stopped me. A long black convertible with a top up. Over the wheel, I could see a face. Banyan. I ran across the street, grabbed the door handle just as the car started to move, opened it, and pulled the handbrake.
Take it easy, Regan. You're liable to get hurt.
Are you waiting for someone, Banyan?
What I do is my business.
Been up to Jerry's apartment tonight, Banyan?
Cops having a ball over there, Regan?
Yeah, a real party. They're serving refreshments. Fig Newtons.
I stopped laughing in 29.
Maybe you've been in the building. Just got out. You were leaving without saying goodbye.
Where's Jerry's shoulder, Regan?
Let's look in your car trunk.
If anything happened to that girl, I'm holding you responsible.
Put that gun away.
She's the only clean, decent thing I've ever had in my life. Something a peeper like you wouldn't understand.
Try me.
Jerry Shoulder and I are engaged to be married.
You'll have to stand in line.
Yeah? Quitting the racket. Sure, at first I was just playing around with Jerry, but then I found she was...
Different.
A decent dame.
You've known Jerry Shoulder how long, Banyan? 3 weeks?
Ever since she's been in town. Yeah, maybe 3 weeks.
How'd you meet her?
I answered a lonely heart's ad.
Look, Banyan, I know you started that beauty shop front so you could meet Jerry there. Or have her brought there so you could be nearer.
Oh, let's stop fishing.
Sorry, time's running out, Banyan. I gotta give it to you straight. Jerry's shoulder was married to Steve Albright.
What? Why, you liar.
Somebody's been killed in Jerry's shoulder's bed, and it looks like it might be a hubby. Maybe you better go take a look. Banyan ran upstairs, but I didn't have time to wait for his reaction. I had an appointment at Massive Enterprises. It was 4 in the morning now. A clear sky, pouring cold moonlight down on the deserted stucco that housed Massive Enterprises Incorporated. The outside door was open. Steve Albright's office was locked. It opened on the third key. I tried. I snapped the overhead light on. Yeah, everything just as I remembered it. I opened the desk and found what I wanted. When Steve Albright had said that Massive Enterprises consisted of himself, he was almost right. The health food sideline was in the name of Martha Highgate. I used the phone to raise the line. Tried every place I thought he might be. Then tried the office of the Detective Bureau.
Yeah, Anthony J. Lyon, Detective Bureau. Anthony J.
Me, Fatso.
Oh, Jeffrey, my boy. I've been trying to locate
What'd you get on Banyan?
That's what I wanted to tell you. I picked up his trail at the Seven Club.
He was with Jerry Shoulder.
Yes.
Yeah, I just talked to Banyan.
Yeah, I'm not surprised, Jeffrey. I took his girl away from him.
Jerry Shoulder?
Yes, when they came out of the club, Banyan went to get his car. I spoke to Miss Shoulder and told her she was in great danger. Showed my credentials and she came with me.
With you?
Yes. Oh, she's a very nice girl, my boy. She said she's had to go around with Banyan. He practically forced her to accompany him.
Where's Jerry Shoulder now?
Well, she was here at the office up until an hour ago. We had a midnight bite of wheat and quite a nice chat.
She's gone?
Well, I was out getting a drink of water, and when I came back, she was gone.
Anything else on Banyan?
Oh, yes. There is no Banyan.
Come again?
Banyan is just one of the aliases taken by a hoodlum whose real name is Highgate.
Highgate? And he has an older sister named Martha.
Yes, but how...
That's all I needed. Thanks, Lyon. It began to make sense. When Banyan saw Jerry Shoulder had run out on him, he phoned downtown to Mungo, had Mungo check her apartment. That's where I found him. I looked through Albright's desk and found Martha Highgate's address. It was the Rondo Hotel. When I got there, the room clerk was smiling.
Room 405, Regan, but you won't find Martha Highgate up there.
Who will I find?
Smooth day. Must be a friend. Had a bottle and some ice cubes sent up just a little while ago. Celebrate.
Celebrating?
Wearing a bathing suit.
I went upstairs and knocked on the door. I waited. Then I felt the knob turn in my hand. The door opened. And there, in a tight-fitting bathing suit, stood...
Oh, come in, Mr. Regan.
Hey, wait a minute. You're not Jerry Shoulder.
Come in, Mr. Regan.
The room was dim in pink light. There was a rosy globe hanging down from the ceiling. A phonograph was playing. And the woman was the bathing beauty's wardrobe mistress, Martha Highgate.
Drink, Mr. Regan.
No, thanks, Liddy.
Oh, don't you like me? Just a little.
I'll like you more after we talk.
Do you like me in this light? See, I've kept my figure young, Mr. Regan.
You can't cheat Father Time with a pink light, lady.
My hair looks almost black, if you don't stand too close. It's long, Mr. Regan.
You even had the bellboy fooled with that bathing suit and your hair down, Mother.
I'm Jerry's Shoulder now.
It'll take more than wishing to give you what she has, lady.
Maybe a little drink will improve your eyesight.
No one's eyesight's too good in a darkened bedroom, Martha.
Bedroom?
You loved Steve Albright, didn't you, Martha?
Love Steve? Oh, sure, and he loves me.
Yeah, he did all right by you, too. Made you part of Massive Enterprises, gave you a cut of the profits. But that wasn't enough. You wanted him.
Uh-uh, I've got him.
Oh, no, Liddy. Somebody's got him now, but not you.
Not Jerry Shoulder.
Steve Albright is dead.
Dead?
One thing, lady, you didn't know that Steve and Jerry were married.
Steve and Jerry?
Yeah, you should have turned that bedroom light on before you threw that acid.
What do you mean?
Jerry was on a date tonight with your brother.
No.
You killed Steve Albright, her husband.
Steve?
You made certain with a gun. But you couldn't stand the thought of Jerry's shoulder looking beautiful even in death. So you used acid, too.
I can use this gun again, Mr. Regan.
Oh, no, you won't use it again, Martha. You're a one-time gal. You won't kill again.
Don't try me.
Give me that gun, Martha.
Stand back.
Give it to me.
All right.
The muzzle blast was hot on my face. But Martha was still a poor hand with a gun. The bullet went wild, and I had her by the arms tight.
Get your hands off her, Regan.
Banyan.
Oh, honey, I knew you'd come. I knew you wouldn't let me take him.
All right, give me the gun, Regan. One inside your coat, too. That's right.
You won't get away with this, Banyan.
What's Regan doing here, sis?
Shoot him. Kill him, honey.
What's Regan doing in your room?
Well, he was going to take me in for killing Steve Albright. But now you won't let him.
You won't let him, will you, honey?
Why the bathing suit?
She went up there to kill Jerry's shoulder, Banion.
Why the bathing suit?
I'm as beautiful as she is.
Jealousy, Banion. Your sister wanted Steve, but he fell for Jerry.
How about it, sis?
I wish now they'd been together tonight. I didn't know they were married. I'd have killed both of them. That's why I threw Jerry at you, honey. You wanted her, and I wanted to get rid of her. Oh, gee, I'm glad you showed up, honey. Now, come on, kill Regan. Come on, shoot Regan.
No. That's not the way it's going to be. All right, Regan, here's your gun.
What?
Thanks, Banion.
What are you doing? You're my brother. You can't do that. You can't turn me
in. You don't need to worry about Martha, Regan.
No, I can't.
So Jerry was married. Well, all that's over for me. But you tried to kill her, Martha. So I'm turning you in myself.
No, no, you can't. It'll hurt me. You're my brother. Yes,
the woman in the bathing suit, flattered by the rosy light, allowed her brother to take her by the arm and lead her from the room. Banion delivered his sister to Candid down at Homicide. But to make sure, I followed Banion's car all the way. Too bad about Banion. Jerry was the only good thing that ever happened to him in his life. But it happened too late. Anyway, Candid finally found the scared Jerry shoulder, released Banyan's sidekick, Mungo, and that put a period. It was 10 in the morning when I checked in at the office. The lion was singing.
There was a boy, a very strange enchanted boy.
Oh, Nature Boy.
Oh, Jeffrey.
Still packing away the wheat, Fatso?
Yes. Notice how much weight I've lost already, my boy. You know, this morning I saw my cheekbones for the first time in years.
Oh, eyes sunken, color gray.
Jeffrey, I've never felt so healthy. Yeah, I've been eating nothing but golden grains of patented wheat.
Patented?
Yeah, patented. You know, Miss Shoulder eats nothing but health foods, Jeffrey. Last night she recommended a health food restaurant where we might have lunch. The Grated Garbanzo Grotto.
Fine, fine.
It serves nothing but the finest dried soybeans.
Good.
Yes, raw cabbage.
Delicious.
Delicious. Choice beech bark.
Yummy.
Yummy.
Yeah, I knew you weren't touching any other kind of food.
No, health food, Jeffrey. Nature's boon to mankind.
That's why I turned down the invitation for you.
Morted mango. Invitation? What invitation?
Of course, I'm going.
You're going where?
Candid's barbecue out at his place. You were invited, but, I knew you wouldn't be interested.
Barbecue?
No, you wouldn't want hot buttered corn.
Yeah, corn.
Rich Caesar salad.
Yeah, salad.
Mounds of golden brown French fried potatoes.
Oh.
Steaks 4 inches thick. So long, Ryan.
Jeffrey, wait for me!
Jeff Regan, Investigator, is written by William Frug and Gilbert Thomas, produced and directed by Sterling Tracy, and stars Frank Graham as Regan with Frank Nelson as Anthony J. Lyon. Original music is by Dick Arant. Jeff Regan, Investigator, is heard each week at the same time over CBS. Bob Stevenson speaking, reminding you that Jeff Regan will be back next week, transcribed. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's Jeff Regan, Investigator, from July 9th, 1950. She's lovely. She's engaged. She Eats Soybeans is the name of that show. Frank Graham starring in that, along with Frank Nelson, is heard on CBS. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more of the WGN Radio Theater. Hi, this is Carl Amari. I've started the Classic Radio Club, where each month you'll receive 10 of the greatest shows of all time on 5 CDs in a collector case. Join now and receive your first 5-CD collection of 10 classic radio shows, regularly priced at $39.95 for only $4.99. Each month I'll hand select 10 more of the greatest classic radio shows of all time from my library of 100,000 shows and send them to you on 5 CDs. And I promise they'll be superior sound quality and you'll never receive a duplicate show. Log on to ClassicRadioClub.com and we'll rush you your first 5-CD collection with 10 of the greatest classic radio shows of all time for only $4.99. Your first collection will feature Abbott and Costello, Sam Spade, Dimension X, Escape, Fibber McGee and Molly, Gunsmoke, Have Gun Will Travel, Inner Sanctum, Jack Benny, and Suspense. You're going to love the Classic Radio Club. Learn how to join at ClassicRadioClub.com. That's ClassicRadioClub.com. All right, well, when we come back here next week, Lisa, we have Escape, The Great Gildersleeve, Crime, and Peter Chambers on Saturday. What's on Sunday?
On Sunday, we have The Shadow and the Dinah Shore Show, a new show for us.
Wow, and I want to thank Ashley Byhun because she did an amazing job, as always.
I want to thank her,
as
too.
As our producer.